What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
The only good thing I take away from the Super Bowl last night is that Wheel of Fortune returns tonight at 6:30.
Oh, hallelujah.
After a week-long hiatus.
Going to put your slippers and your bathrobe on?
Yes. Yes, I am. Maybe cook some night-night tea. I don't know.
Going to have some chamomile tea.
Brew some night-night tea.
Maybe some soup. Soup.
Some pudding.
Some autumn squash.
By the way, speaking of Fox 4, because that's where Wheel of Fortune airs, and this is going to be the last thing about the Super Bowl I say for the rest of the day.
Okay.
But they actually have a story on their news station on how to cope with the Chiefs' loss last night.
I told you when Alex Gold came in, I said, you sound terrible. And I didn't mean that like I thought he was sick. We just all have this bleh. Today.
I mean, I'm disappointed that they lost. I wanted them to win, but my life does not revolve around a professional football team.
This is the reaction that you're going to get from a lot of people after all of these years of doing so well to lose in that fashion.
Uh-huh.
It's like a gut punch.
Do you want to hear some of their tips?
No. Not really.
On how to cope with the Chiefs' loss last
night? Is it get out and exercise?
Yeah, go for a walk.
Talk it out with friends and family.
Take a hike.
That's going to make it worse.
Take a
Share
hike.
Your feelings with people who understand.
No.
And can offer support.
Okay.
Engage in a fun distraction. Exercise.
Tune into the Dana and Parks program.
Limit social media exposure. Eat something.
No.
Distract yourself.
Eat something.
Take up a hobby.
Look forward to next season.
Maybe macrame.
Okay.
Which intern was tasked with writing that?
Oh my God.
Could we talk for a couple of minutes about the commercials? I know yes. You didn't see all of them.
We talked
there
a lot.
There were a couple. Speaking of crying and emotional, I was on a puddle on the floor, and you know how much I hate Big Pharma.
Uh-huh.
But the Pfizer ad,
yep,
with the child, a little boy, Scott, who has done his last chemotherapy treatment. He comes out into the hallway and all of the nurses are clapping and crying and he's wearing boxing gloves. And
like a little Rocky.
Yeah, he like a little Rocky.
Oh, I did see that one. Yeah, I did see that
one.
He
doesn't go to ring the bell. He starts punching the bell and then it shows everyone's behind him. People are asking for autographs. They're all running. And then he goes home into the arms of his mother.
Boom, right there.
Oh my gosh. I thought I was going to sob right there.
That was quality. Oh, that was a good one. That was a good little
movie. You know, with a lot of the ads, you don't know until the end what they're selling.
What they're marketing for.
What they're marketing for. And that was so brilliant. Because if you had led with, this ad is about Pfizer, I would have, like, thrown up probably a gigantic middle finger. But they do this entire lovely scene. And then at the end, it was very quiet. It was like,
just at Pfizer.
This is about Pfizer. And we're really working on cures for cancer. And I'm like, all right.
And then the middle finger went up.
No, I'm serious. I mean, hats off to them for a beautifully crafted message.
Now, seal as a seal.
Oh.
Okay, that one even got my mom's attention.
Stupid.
She goes, I don't get it. I go, hilarious. That's the singer Seal with his face on a seal.
Oh, I just thought it was.
I thought it was disturbing.
Weird. And there was one where someone's tongue came out of his mouth. And the tongue was flying around, and I looked at.
Yeah, that
I
one
go,
was a little.
That's disgusting.
How about the Budweiser one? Nah. The horse. Oh, the keg.
You're rolling the keg.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah, it's
it was
all right.
Yeah. The bar for Budweiser and the Clydesdales is so high after 9/11.
Oh, for sure.
When the horse walks into the bar, what? That was a pretty good commercial.
Oh.
I thought it was good.
The pickleball one. Did you see that one?
Yes, with Catherine O'Hara.
And what's his name?
Willem
Dafoe.
Dafoe.
And they were just kicking butt.
They went, Scott, and they played pickleball for Michelob Ultras. Play for Michelob Ultra, and they just go on to demolish, like, world athletes. It's pretty funny.
Oh, was this with the Agassi?
Yes.
Was he in there?
There were a lot of stars in that one. I thought that was very funny.
Now, my favorite overall was the Matthew McConaughey pitching a movie as a conspiracy that the NFL is all around getting you to eat for the Uber Eats commercial.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty very clever. Well put together.
Could I also just say, if you're going to show an ad that then says, tune in at a later date to watch the rest of the ad, you have already lost all of America.
But can we also have the conversation about, and I think it was a grievance on Friday evening, somebody who grieved about releasing Super Bowl commercials before the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. Like the When Harry Met Sally one.
It needs to be.
We have already seen it.
It needs to be in time. It needs to be right now, live in the Super Bowl. Do not ask me to look back because you've already shown me. And then do not, a lot of those ads said, tune in February 13th, go to this website. And no one is going to do that.
Taking notes as you go. Okay,
yes. No. What are you going to put that on a calendar alert? No.
Before we get Busby on the air, and I know they're a competing radio station, can we discuss Jenny Matthews leaving Q104?
We all texted about that over the weekend. I love her.
She is a darling woman. She's nothing but positive, great talent, brilliant talent on the radio. But she announced over the weekend on her Facebook page a very lengthy, very well-written, I'll see you later, I'm leaving the air. And that is the second departure, according to this story from Channel 5, from the morning show on Q104 in a handful of months.
I was so like, wait, what? I took a screenshot and I sent it to Scott and Sam. And I said, is she saying what I think she's saying? And you wrote back, yes.
Yeah, I said, it sounds to me like she's quitting. And the vibe that I got from her rather lengthy post, and again, it was very well written, was I just don't have it anymore. You know, and not the talent. She, of course, has the talent.
She mentioned
She
mentioned an illness in the family going on. And, you know,
her kids.
All I know is I wish her the absolute best. I think she is so talented. She's absolutely lovely. And you deserve, if you are going to walk away from a career or find something else to do, you deserve to do it on your own terms. And she certainly has earned that right.
Well, and a couple years ago, you know, you and I and Sam won the Media Mix for Best Radio Personality, I think, in 2023. We were up for that award in 2022, and we lost to Jenny Matthews. Yeah. And I remember being at that dinner downtown, and it was our show, her, and then somebody else, I think, from Hot Jams, if I'm not mistaken. And you know, they open up the envelope, and they go, Radio Personality of the Year for 2022 is Jenny Matthews.
Yeah.
And I said, under my breath, I said, she deserved it.
Yeah. Without question.
She deserves it.
Good for her.
So I don't know what she's going to do. The story here from Channel 5 says, and they point out that she mentioned in her Facebook post, she doesn't plan on leaving Kansas City, but there was no hint that she was staying in radio. Yeah. But anyway, I wish her nothing but the best.
I promise you, if and when I walk away from my career, you will not find out through Channel 5. Hashtag awkward.
Already did that once.
Fresh off their halftime show, Kendrick Lamar and SZA are expanding their upcoming tour to make stops in Europe. The additional stops announced today include a July 4th show in Frankfurt. Lamar and SZA are set to kick off the Grand National Tour in Minneapolis on April 19th. And wrap up the North American leg in Washington, D.C. on June 18th.
I ask you again, why could they not have folded in a Paul McCartney into that show for the millions of people who have no idea, however talented, who have no idea who Kendrick Lamar is? Paul McCartney was actually there. They could have just said, excuse me, sir.
I didn't know he was there.
Up there next to Ben Affleck? Yeah. Could you come down? He was right by Paul Rudd. All of these stars were sort of Anne Hathaway.
Maybe work it out.
Would you mind coming down? We have a piano. Do a little Golden Slumbers, and all of the more mature people in the audience will be very happy.
Because Taylor was there too.
Well, she's never going to perform in a game where the Chiefs are playing. Has she ever done the halftime show before?
No, she has no need to.
Well, that's true.
Costs them money.
Well, they do it for free.
Well, he just expanded his tour, so he's obviously getting some.
Clearly there's a benefit.
The halftime performers get a certain allotment for their stage setup and lights and all that good stuff. Everything beyond that dollar value, and I don't know what that dollar value is out of their own pocket. They don't get paid to do the halftime show.
No, I knew that. I knew they did not get paid to do it.
But now you're talking about him and his show last night.
He doesn't need me talking about him. But to your point, Dana, the same look that was on my face when Kendrick Lamar and SZA were out there last night would be the same look on every young kid's face when Paul McCartney came
out. That's fine. Let's all share the same dumbfounded look.
913-586-7798. When we get back, has the penny completely ended? We don't get into politics, but the president announcing today he has ordered the Treasury Department to stop making pennies today.
Can we order the snow to go someplace else?
Brian Busby joins us in just a moment with his forecast for Wednesday. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. They said snow. I gotta get the bread and milk. Oh my God.
So I'm looking at this forecast model for 9 p.m. on Wednesday, and we'll get Busby in here in just a minute. He's busy doing something over at Channel 9. This model has, by Wednesday night at 9 p.m., Kansas City with 5.7 inches of snow on the ground. Northeast of Kansas City, up by King City and some of those towns up there, 9.2 inches in north central Colorado, 17.2 inches by Wednesday night. Lawrence, roughly 5.8 inches.
Kansas Governor Laura Kelly has already issued a state of emergency for the state of Kansas, freeing up some of those relief funds. A lot of that is targeted in western Kansas.
Oh, good times. Good times. While we wait for Brian, maybe move him to 3:30 so we can get some more time with him if he doesn't call in here in the next few minutes. Story here from NBC. You want to weigh in on the New Orleans thing? Or you want to wait until after we talk
Let's wait until we talk to Brian. Every single time I read more about this, I get more angry and more angry and more angry.
Story here from NBC News. There's Brian right there. Children with milder forms of peanut sensitivity may be able to overcome their allergy by consuming increasing amounts of store-bought peanut butter, according to a new study. These are for kids with a mild allergy to peanuts. All of the 32 children in the study who received 18 months of the immunotherapy were able to consume the equivalent of 3 tablespoons of peanut butter without experiencing any reaction.
Wow.
Parents were advised that this strategy should only be followed under the supervision of an allergist. Between 1% and 2% of children and adults in the United States have a peanut allergy.
Effectively microdosing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's bring in Channel 9 chief meteorologist and Jerk Air board member, Brian Busby. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, gang?
We're doing well. Apparently, Dana was on the phone with you earlier today, moving some travel arrangements around because of your Wednesday forecast.
Exactly, and I'm waiting for that Venmo because, you know, those don't come free.
I did. I said, I'm so sorry to call you and ask you this, but help me. How bad's it going to be and when?
You are fine. We really kept to the thing. I think we're still going, and I'm here with Brittany Foster, our newest member.
Oh, good.
And also Neville Miller. Hi, guys. Say hi, everybody.
Hello. There you go. Hello.
We're still holding to the numbers between 5 and 8. Like, Brittany was on this past weekend, and you didn't vary the forecast much at all from what we were saying before, right?
No, we were keeping it pretty consistent.
Yeah. So we were going, I think, 3 or 4 days ago up to the minimum of 4 inches. That would be a good baseline. But then we're saying, no, this is going to be lasting a little longer. So now we're saying 5 to 8 inches pretty much for the metro. Starting late tomorrow, when I say late, I think tomorrow's going to be okay. It'll be after like midnight or so for it to start. But then once it starts, it'll be off and on most of the day, and coming in pretty heavy doses every once in a while on Wednesday. Now, there are a couple of things different from the blizzard we had. First of all, it's not going to be freezing rain and sleet prior to snow. It should be all snow, as it should be sufficiently cold when the system moves in. The visibilities won't be cut down to a fraction of a mile, I don't believe. So that will help. But still, and also I should say one more thing, it'll be a powdery snow. So it should be fairly easy to try to plow, but it'll still be an amount between 5 and 8 inches.
Mm. Well, you've got the show torn because Dana and I, we're done with the snow and the winter. Sam and Dan are super crazy excited for Wednesday morning.
Yeah, and their Venmos went through.
Beg your pardon, say it again?
Their Venmos went through. See, they know how to play the game. Just like the NFL referees. I mean, I can be bought. No, that's not true. Just kidding.
Yeah.
No, I know that Dan loves snow and Sam loves snow, but then again, Sam has the right vehicle for this, which helps matters a lot. But, yeah, just don't blame the messenger, you know.
This
is just the way it's looking to us, and I'd rather tell you that it's going to happen than not tell you it's going to happen. And the other thing that we try to do at Channel 9 is it's like an auction. When you go to an auction, you bid $100, but you don't pull back and say, oh, did I say 100? I'm sorry, 50. I'm only going to give you 50 for that. So when we're confident that we have 4 inches plus, that's what we went with. Now that we're confident 5 inches, so it's at least 5 inches for most of us, up to 8, possibly 9 inches of snow.
And repeat it, if you would, Brian. It starts tomorrow night. What time did you say?
Midnight or so.
About midnight, okay.
At the earliest. And it'll start off light. The heaviest will probably start by at least mid-morning, so maybe the morning commute will start to be a little more difficult. And certainly by lunchtime and in the evening hours on Wednesday is when the brunt of the storm will be hitting.
All right. Appreciate the time and the knowledge. Thank you for it, my friend.
Thank you much, and I'll see you guys soon.
All right,
be well, my friend.
Look forward to it. That is Channel 9 Chief Meteorologist Brian Busby. The snow starts tomorrow night roughly around midnight, and Brian is now predicting 5 to 8 inches of very powdery snow. A story here from the Daily Mail out of the UK. Haunting surveillance footage shows the final moments of Super Bowl reporter Aidan Manzano before he was found dead in a motel room, allegedly the victim of the Bourbon Street hustler Danette Colbert. The footage, obtained by the Daily Mail exclusively, shows Manzano and Colbert entering the Comfort Inn in Kenner, Louisiana, on February 5th at 3:46 in the morning. He appears coherent, following Colbert through the lobby to his room. It remains unclear where the pair met. Manzano, 27 years old, was in town from Kansas City, Missouri, part of the Kansas City Telemundo team covering the event, when he came across Colbert, who has a long, long criminal history. What happened inside the motel room remains under investigation, but the video shows Manzano entering the hotel and never coming out again.
So I told you last week, this exact scenario on Bourbon Street in New Orleans happened to two people that I know well. And police today, in a couple of these stories, are saying they are now hearing from men all over who had this happen and either had their claims ignored after it happened. Men who may have been too shocked or embarrassed, like when you wake up and like, my watch is gone, all my money's gone, what just happened? Mm-hmm. They're hearing from people everywhere. Her nickname was the Bourbon Street Hustler. She is known for drugging men and robbing them of everything, Scott, in New Orleans, in Las Vegas, tourist areas where
almost always the victims had very nice watches.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
she is a vile, disgusting human being. This was not an accidental death. Aidan did not do anything wrong here. What I've been told about these drugs is once you are drugged, you become compliant. The word I have heard from everybody is compliant.
Like a zombie almost.
Yes.
Initially, it was reported that she left the room alone minutes later.
True.
What happened in that hour and a half?
So she went, this story from the Daily Mail says she went to the front desk and requested another key.
Right. She left the room twice by herself after
Correct.
They were seen entering the hotel together, which is a weird way to phrase. She was leading him into the hotel, because if you look at the photos that the Daily Mail has captured of the surveillance footage, she walks in and goes left. He walks in and goes right. And then she corrects him.
He had probably already been drugged, Sam.
That's my point. So what happened between 3:46 and 5:21? Obviously, she left the room twice. We know that.
Mm-hmm. If you look back at this history, and we'll get into this when I come back, it is unconscionable that she was ever let out on the streets. There are cases dating back to 2013, 2014, more than 10 years ago, where she was caught using men's stolen credit cards after they were drugged. And for whatever reason, every time she got off on theft, there was one small span of time where I think she did 3 years, and then she was right back at it.
Yeah, look, here she is walking into the hotel.
It's disgusting.
He almost looks like he has this, what's the word I'm looking for? Almost nothingness on his face.
Yeah, he looks like a zombie.
He's emotionless.
Yeah.
And she's looking over her right shoulder, and it almost appears like she's waving him in her direction.
I'll tell you this right now. She ain't doing this alone. I don't buy it. I don't buy it for 1 minute. There's a case in Las Vegas where a man said she met him, and the next thing he remembered, he was upstairs. They were shoving a liquid down his throat that, quote, tasted like tequila, but I wasn't sure. And then he said the next thing he knew, everything went dark. And he woke up, and his very fancy watch was gone, $60,000.
Jeez.
$1,500 in casino chips, and all of his credit cards were missing. This is a ring.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. So we now have surveillance video from the hotel in Kenner, Louisiana, where it is believed Aiden Manzano walks in with this woman from New Orleans known as the Bourbon Street Hustler. And they walk in the late 3 a.m. hour. She leaves the hotel at 5:21 a.m. Later, she allegedly used one of his credit cards. He died, Aiden Manzano. I worked for Telemundo here in Kansas City. He was down in New Orleans covering the Super Bowl. And he died from whatever he ingested. 913-586-7798. Mark in Overland Park. Mark, good afternoon. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
So I'm a frequent traveler to New Orleans for the last 15 years. Our worst year, we went down there like six times. This past December, was down with a group of friends, made a new friend who traveled with the group from Dallas, and he woke up one morning in a strange car parked in the middle of the French Quarter, no billfold, no money, nothing. His Find My iPhone pegged his iPhone in the middle of a canal. So this stuff happens a lot, and you just have to be aware.
Mark, do you remember if he contacted police? Because they are now saying we are hearing from a lot of men who are coming forward saying this happened, and they want to hear from the traveling tourists. Even if it was a year ago or 3 years ago, they want to hear from the victims and try to piece together how often this has been happening, whether this individual is involved in your friend's case or not.
I know he did contact them. So if you're familiar with the French Quarter, there is a police precinct office right there by the Omni and the federal courthouse. And they didn't necessarily laugh at him, but they said, yeah, that stuff happens. Yep. You got to be careful.
That is what happened to my buddies, Mark. And you know what? They didn't even hear back from police until 2 weeks later when they were back home here. And guess what police said? Well, if you're saying this happened the way you're saying it happened, we need you to fly back here and give us a statement.
Why can't I give you a statement over the phone?
So, Mark, you're telling me after I have been violated, I have 12 minutes of my life or hours that I don't even remember. Everything is gone. My watch, my credit cards, my bank accounts, all of that has been tapped into. Mm-hmm. You want me to get on a plane and fly back to that god-awful place? No, thank you.
That's kind of what they told Danny.
Mark, let me ask you something. By the way, phones are open at 586-7798. I have never been to New Orleans, and I have absolutely no interest in ever going. Can you sell me on New Orleans, or is it really as awful as I have it in my mind?
So before COVID, there was lots of live music on Bourbon and on Frenchman's. Since going into COVID, that had started to change. During COVID, it was nothing but canned thump-thump music. It's starting to have a few more places open up for live music now, but that's why we started going. After I destroyed my body trying to play sports, I paid for school behind a drum set. So I like to go, I like to listen to the musicians. I've seen some phenomenal acts just walking into a place, and it's like, that guy looks familiar. And you get on your phone, and you're like, oh, man, that's this guy.
Yeah. Huh. That's Harry Connick, right?
Not Harry Connick. I saw the backup band for the Neville Brothers one trip. They were leading an open mic night. And you just see random phenomenal stuff with no expectation going in.
Okay. All right. From the text line, let me address a couple of these. Thank you, Mark, by the way. 913-586-7798. How would a reporter afford a $60,000 watch? He did not have a $60,000 watch. That was somebody else.
There are so many cases where she has been convicted of scamming men. It usually involves a watch. It always involves their bank cards. That the listener, and I understand it, is conflating some of the different stories because there are so many.
Correct.
You know what? You can be livid at her, and I am, and I hope she rots in hell. I hope she never sees the light of day again, and then she rots in hell. And I mean that with every shred of my being. But I will also say there is a system down there that allowed this, Scott. The system that will say to a man who has been taken advantage of, oh, are we sure that's what happened?
Or that happens all the time.
And that it stops now. Yeah. I will talk about this until I'm out of breath because there are so many male victims out there who are upset and angry and afraid and scared about where this missing chunk of time has gone. But then police don't take it seriously, even though she has a nickname there, the Bourbon Street Hustler. Now, don't tell me you didn't know who this woman was.
Is there a stigma that men can't be the victims in situations like this that is helping fuel this fire?
I don't think it's a stigma like that, Sam. I think people will say, oh, are we sure you didn't invite her up to your hotel room? Which, no, they didn't. Look at his face in that photo, Scott.
He looks like a
zombie. He has no idea what's going on at that point.
No emotion, nor is he, you're right, he's not even remotely aware what's going on. And that's the next one. Why was he even with her? Is from the text line. First of all, we're not victim blaming here. Second of all, I guarantee you he doesn't know he is with her.
No. Why do you think she had to go to the front desk to get a key? He would not, in his right frame of mind, have let her inside that room. These drugs make you compliant. The word is compliant.
The point that I was trying to get at was if a woman were to walk into a police precinct after waking up in a vehicle in the French Quarter with no phone, no wallet, nothing, the police officers would not say, it happens.
No, it's fair. I'm going to disagree with Dan a little bit. I do think there is a bit of a stigma here. You're a man. You allowed yourself to be put into this situation, would be their argument, potentially. You are married or whatever, you're in a relationship, you're trying to come up with an excuse for why you don't remember anything. Well, I was drugged. No, okay. All right. Sure you were. And you just took a woman up to your hotel room and for convenience, you don't remember.
You're right.
Also,
in this case though, Scott, I will tell you again, police knew. They knew.
But wouldn't the bartenders know too?
You think?
So why would you even allow this person into your establishment?
If she was as notorious along that Bourbon Street corridor,
where she had a nickname,
why was she not banned from Bourbon Street? Now, she would have just bounced around and gone to Vegas or gone to, honestly, anywhere where she thinks there's going to be men in town. So think golf trips.
Yep.
You know, I have talked to my son about this. Think Super Bowl. Stop wearing the watch. Wear the watch when you're at home.
Don't let that drink out of your hand.
In terms of her not being allowed in the bar, all she has to do is get in long enough to identify a male by himself and to pour whatever drug she is using into their drink. And then she has to go outside of the bar and wait for them to walk out.
Fair. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. She still has not been charged in connection with his death, though. Is that correct?
What they are waiting for is the toxicology to prove what we all fear will be the case, that he was drugged. And we had you look this up on Friday, Sam, without, you know, I'm trying to be sensitive, but this is such a vile thing that this woman has done in the past and is alleged to have done again.
Well, this time with fatal consequences.
You know, part of the problem with these drugs is that they fly in and out of your system. And you know, we've talked about this with our young women, that you lose consciousness at a bar and, like, you had only had one drink and you're like, what is going on? Yeah. That is a scary and valid concern. I think people, as we're worried about those drugs, and we should be with respect to our young women, we have, like, somehow ignored what is happening over here to our male tourists in America, and that these drugs are being used to incapacitate our men. And what is the shelf life or the half-life for this thing,
Sam? About 12 hours. So that is obviously assuming that all of your organs, without being graphic, and I don't know how to explain this without being graphic, so I apologize. When all of your organs are working and filtering the drug out, it takes about 12 hours.
But if you die, does the drug stay in your system?
I am not a coroner, so I don't know, but I would assume since your liver is no longer processing your blood,
flushing it and processing it.
Yeah,
you're right.
It should stay in based on that logic.
913-586-7798. Leo in Waldo. Hello, Leo.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
This is an old story. I had a college roommate and he had a friend come into Kansas City. And he said this happened to him during Mardi Gras back in it was either late 80s or early 90s. And we listened to this story and we just, you know, we kind of laughed at him. But he woke up in a park somewhere with no shoes and no wallet, no keys. He had nothing. So he had to, you know, get somebody to wire him money. And this was back in the early 90s. So it's been going on for a long time.
Again, I'll go back to repeat myself with Mark, who called in a little while ago. Leo, thank you, by the way. I cannot think of one reason that you will ever catch me getting off a flight in New Orleans. Everything about this city sounds awful.
They have to get a handle on the criminal behavior. And
clearly,
what bothers me about this case and the other cases like it is, you know, Scott, the cities don't want to have a reputation for men being drugged and robbed blind. You don't want that. And I'm not trying to say there's some grand conspiracy here, but I will tell you that the people I know that had this happen, they were not taken seriously.
Like almost laughed off.
Yes.
You know, the reputation that I have for New Orleans, or that New Orleans holds with me, reminds me of what the reputation was for New York City in the 70s and 80s, like just a haven of debauchery, criminal activity, not fun. I mean, there was a documentary that we watched, a year or two ago about New York City in the 70s and 80s and how the area, even around Times Square, was just filled with drug dealing and mobs and prostitution. And, you know, Rudy Giuliani comes along and the rest is history and they start cleaning up the city. But that's the impression I get when I think about New Orleans now, is it's just this gross.
It also has a reputation for people like imbibing. And I think that lends itself to, oh, well, how many beers did you have? It lends itself to that when, in fact, you could go out, have two or three beers, and there's no reason you should wake up bloodied the next day, missing everything.
Well, now you're watching
and without authorities believing that this happened to you. Now that we know all that we know about this one woman's criminal history, you don't think there are others?
Sure. Let's go to Jerry on line two. Jerry, good afternoon. Hi.
Good afternoon. I worked for a major airline. I had to go to New Orleans about six times a year on average. And
Hey, Jerry, can you speak more directly into your phone? You're very muffled.
There we go.
I'm sorry.
You had to go to New Orleans six times for work. Go ahead.
And before I went my first trip down there, everyone in the company said, do not get found outside your motel room after dark. Get back to your room before dark.
Huh.
They gave me a list of places not to go. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but right about the same time, the first time I was down there, there was a burglary and a break-in robbery at a Vietnamese restaurant. And when they opened the door, the first person that came in, they recognized as a New Orleans police officer. She came in and shot everybody up. She thought that they had killed everybody, but one of the people survived. There was an eyewitness, and that's kind of how you want to get corrupt. I mean, the police officers are doing robberies. Now, this has been possibly 15 years ago, maybe longer.
All right, Jerry, I got somebody there, man. Do appreciate the story and the call. Thank you for it. Quick break for the news with Dan Weinbaum coming up in 2 minutes. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Don't forget to check out our podcast, the Dana Parks Podcast, available anytime you want. Anywhere you go, just go to KMBZ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.